Hello and welcome to another episode of Mojo Share. I'm your host, Claire Oldham West. Today's guest is full of inspirational stories. My guest, Juliet Upton, has gone from basically not running at all to picking up an old pair of school trainers to then training to run the London Marathon. I find a story to be really inspirational, and if you're in the mindset that it's autumn and you just want to cozy up on the sofa with your cats and dogs or whatever you've got next year, whether it's your husband or your kids, and just kind of switch off really, because bikini weather has long gone, the summer's gone, it's now autumn. If you're anything like me, I'm just dying to switch go on that eating button. Now, my body temperature is totally different to my husband's, and we have to kind of fight to start putting the heating on. But I think that it's that month that you're just kind of winding down a little bit, and the idea of a bikini body is just out the window, isn't it? And maybe you're thinking, well, we can start the fitness back up in perhaps springtime and just get into wind down mode with how we actually look underneath our clothes, because we can just hide in jumpers and it doesn't really matter about the fitness anymore. We can start that up again. I'm hoping that Julie will help change your mind. She has trained in rain and snow and ice, and it's not that she just decided this was a great idea. She has found massive benefits from running. So I'd like to introduce you to my guest this week, Julie Upton.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of your podcast. And I think it's really nice for you to say that I'm inspiring, because I don't think I'm inspiring, but when people do take a foot out of the front door and they move into a comfort zone of doing some sort of sport that is a bit of a niche and you learn as you go along, it's nice to make people feel welcome. So I'm glad that you felt welcomed by us.
So I know that you'd not been running that long when I first met you.
No, I hadn't.
And I know that when we spoke, you was talking about running from like one lamppost to another lamppost and just to get started, and also the benefits of running, really.
Absolutely.
And how it can help you with your mental health. So
absolutely.
If we just want to go back and just look at your running story and why it actually started in the first place. What made you commit to getting up on those silly mornings and just start running?
Okay, so I've never been sporty. I used to fake a note from my mum when we used to do cross country at school. I always had exercise-induced asthma, or I'd got a terrible cold, or I just couldn't do it. And I always used to walk at the back with the teacher. Never taken up running apart from a tiny little stint when I started dental nursing and stopped smoking, which would have been 2003. Okay. And I literally, again, used to lamppost run, but it used to kill my throat and very quickly gave it up. Unfortunately, after that, I lost a close family member who was like a mum to me, and she passed away of lung cancer in 2011.
Okay.
And because geographically, myself and my family live quite far apart, and this lady's family are like my family, I wanted to do something to pull us all together and to give something back for the care that Liz received, and to raise awareness, really, about cancer, and to raise a little bit of money. So I decided that we were all going to do Race for Life.
Okay.
Now, when I told my kids, so I've got three children, they laughed in my face, basically, and they said, "Mum, you don't even walk to the post box and it's 400 metres down the road," which literally it is, but it's round a corner. So to me, you're driving it.
Right, that's fine.
So I just looked at them and I said, "You watch me, because I will." So I started from there. I used to go out when I work unsociable hours, so work in dentistry. I did have three jobs in dentistry at the time.
Okay.
And one of them, I'd start at 6 and finish at 10. So I'd come home from work, I'd throw some jogging bottoms on, I'd got a pair of trainers that I'd had since I was 16, that a dog we had partially chewed, I didn't have a running bra, and I had a baseball cap for anonymity so that nobody knew me. And I'd run up and down the street.
Okay.
And that was how it started. And once I could go up and down the street and could run without stopping, I went round the block, which was probably about a quarter of a mile. mile. Yeah. But back in those days, I had no way of tracking a run. I didn't know about any of the apps that you could get. I didn't have any running friends. And I used to run around this little block again in the dark. and I'd throw an item of clothing near the front door as I got hotter every time I did a loop. And when I could do probably 10 or 12 loops without stopping, then I decided to try and find something to map a mile. And then I moved further from home, and that's how it started.
And was your husband not worried about you keep going out and running?
No, not really. To be fair, I'm more worried about running alone now than probably what I was when I first started. And I think that's because it's been more in the media recently about runners getting attacked or heckled, and I've had all that, and I've had friends that have had people run at the side of them. I've had blokes run at the side of me when I've been out on my own.
Really?
But it can be quite intimidating. Yeah. But no, hubby's been absolutely fine. We did the Race for Life, which was the 5K.
Wow.
So I didn't follow any apps. No. I just built it up because I didn't know about any apps. And when I did...
So you did that all on your own to the 5K?
Yeah, I did that all on my own, all that training on my own. Yeah. And probably when we did Race for Life, I was up to 5 miles. So I knew I could do the distance, but I was using an app called Runkeeper.
Okay.
And I didn't really know of anything else. And that would talk in my ear as I was running and tell me when I'd done half a mile. Still didn't have a sports bra.
No.
Still didn't have a decent pair of trainers.
They're so important.
So, yes. You learn that as you go along.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To be fair, to start with, all you need is that grit and determination and stepping out of the front door. You don't need anything else. You've just got to be brave enough to think, sod it. It's a free activity. And linking it into mental health, for me, I was grieving for somebody that I'd watched die of a nasty disease.
Goodness.
And running, for me, is my mental stability. It lets me offload, and it means that I can unpack everything that's happened during the day. So there are very strong links with any sort of exercise and mental health. And even if you're not able to run but you're able to walk, because I've also had lots of running injuries and I was out of action for 8 weeks this year, and I took to walking. I stole next door's dog and walked that for miles because I couldn't run. And again, if I wasn't doing that, I was sat at home feeling really sorry for myself. So there's really strong links with it.
So for you, there's something about running that gives you that momentum just to get through those rough patches in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's kind of you time. When you're busy as well and you've got a family and you work, or even if you don't work, you kind of get swallowed up by things. And I think sometimes you need to ring fence some time for yourself. And that's what running does for me. And I've made an awful lot of friends through running. It's a real big community now. And you see lots of people running, which I didn't see. When I started, the lady who founded Parkrun was actually starting Parkrun in Mansfield, and she saw me running around the park, and she said to me, "You must come to this thing. It's free, it's running, it's a timed event, and it's down at Manor." And there must have been 12 people when I first started.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that go
now. You're looking at probably well over 100,
yes.
Some weeks 200 or 300.
Yeah.
So running's evolved as a sport that's free in the short time I've been doing it, it's now, you see everybody out running.
And that's not long. So for somebody listening to this podcast thinking, well, I can't run, like for myself as well, I mean, I couldn't run at school. In fact, I used to just laugh at myself running.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't run because of the giggles.
Yeah.
So for somebody listening thinking, well, I really can't run, I do speak to people that say, look, I just can't run. They'll do every other exercise but running. But for those people who were literally starting from scratch, what advice could you give to those people?
Start small. So don't overwhelm yourself by thinking, I will never be able to run a mile. I went from being a very inactive person. I would get home from work, I'd sit down and I'd eat for every emotion, Give yourself a goal which is achievable. So think back to being at school and you have your SMART sort of objectives, so specific, measurable, and you've got the time to do it, those sort of things. So think, first of all, I'm going to go out and find a small route that I know I can walk round. Okay. Because you might not want to run, you might want to walk, and then you might want to do what we call Jeffing, which is walking and running. So walking for a minute, running for 30 seconds. And now it's so much easier to do those things because there are apps all over the place. Yeah. If you go on Google or any search engine and you put in running apps or exercise apps, you will get all sorts out there. Social media, I follow lots of little snippets of sort of HIIT sessions because I do quite a few of those, so high intensity exercise for a short space of time. All these things complement running once you start looking more at the science behind it.
Yes.
But to start with, just Googling an app, putting it on, listening to it, going out, finding a short route and building up from walking to running or alternating between the two. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. It will hurt. I used to be in agony. I remember not being able to tie my shoelaces because you're using muscles that you've never used before, and you've got the impact of your feet hitting the floor. So that's why if you're going to look at it and you're going to take it up seriously as a hobby, or look at going to park runs or running clubs, a good bra and good shoes are a must.
Yes, you've got to have that comfortable aspect. So to get through the pain, there will be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Yeah. The sense of achievement. If you think all the things I've done from not being able to run, and I couldn't run to the end of my street, which again is less than 400 metres, I'd be purple. That sense of achievement of building up a distance and thinking, I'm not the smallest person, and I'm not, you know, Claire, you know, I'm not built for running, I'm built for eating. and I'm not a natural athlete, but that pride of thinking my legs can take me this distance.
That's right.
And is tremendous.
And I think as well, sometimes you have this concept in your mind of what you can do, what you're capable of. And then when you go to parkrun or the groups, or you start running yourself, you actually challenge your own beliefs about yourself, don't you? That actually, you know, I can do this, and I didn't think I'd get to that tree, but I've run past that tree. And there's a lot to be said for running now. It does impact your mental health and gives you that boost. Even to the point where you can run in the rain, and it's like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah,
it's raining.
Absolutely. Running gives you a coping mechanism, and it's transferable to other things, because you very quickly realise that your mind, running is a constant battle between your mind and your body. Mm-hmm. Your mind and your brain will tell you, what are you doing? Stop. I can't do this anymore. But your body will run through it. So it's kind of, you've got that inner struggle all the time, and it's shutting off those voices in your head and saying, you know, I can do this. So it's having a positive attitude and believing in yourself. Yeah. And if you believe in yourself, then you're halfway there. We've all got insecurities. And, you know, again, mental health now, there are so many things in society as a whole that wear you down, and mental health is a huge issue in lots of areas of life. I mean, I work in dentistry, and somebody's appearance and their teeth has a huge impact on their mental health in that aspect. Mm. I go into schools, and I work in Derbyshire, so we talk about the five ways to wellbeing. And every strand of life, mental health can have a huge impact on you. So, it's an internal struggle, but I think believing in yourself and saying, you know, I can do this, and finding a way of getting out of the door and doing it, regardless of shape, regardless of size, regardless of thinking, I can't do this.
Mm.
If you've got that little glimmer in your mind's eye that says, actually, I might want to try this, do it, because you can. Yeah.
And you mentioned before, rather than coming home to eat, you would be, right, okay, I need to focus on getting my trainers on, my cap on, and getting out. So for people that struggle with the weight and use food as a comfort, then naturally running would be a great source for coping with those feelings. Do you find that even now, when things do get overwhelming, and you said you're a natural eater, do you feel now that you're able just to kind of like switch off and go out and run? Do you find that you're reaching for the running rather than the food, or is it just a fine balance?
It's a very fine balance. With me, I've always had food issues. I've always had a sweet tooth. When we were little, we didn't have much money, so I would eat sweeties. Mum would give me sweets. Mum would rip the packet of drinking chocolate, the little individual sachets. That would be my tea with a spoon. Right. So I have got a very sweet tooth, and if anybody offered me a cake over a dinner, I'd have the cake every time. So with me, that balance, moving more and eating less, if I ate less, I'd be a damn fine athlete. I'd be in much better shape than I am now. So we can all always aspire to something else, and we all look at something else. But for me, I know that food is fuel. And if I put rubbish into my body, then I'm getting rubbish out. And I know when I go running in the evening, I try not to eat my tea. I try to have something like peanut butter on toast, wholemeal toast with a sliced banana. Never actually happens. I either end up eating the kids' tea before I go, or I'll eat my tea and I'm running and I can feel my tea moving up my throat. Yeah. I'm not doing myself any favours. No. But again, when I first started running, my body shape changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was fueling the running, because you need the complex carbs for running. Otherwise, you can't go those distances. You've got to fuel your body. And if you fuel your body on rubbish and just sugar-based stuff, your body's got nothing to burn. But you learn that as you go on. And again, that's really good for your mental health, because you're actually thinking about things and you're thinking differently about your body and the fact that it's actually a very fine-tuned machine, and you need to put the right things in it if you're going to be doing all this activity like running.
So it's like the self-care as well. So thinking about that rather than the stuffing your face with rubbish. And we all have those days, don't we? We all have those times still, but it's nice for the self-care. Yeah,
absolutely.
So at what point did you think, right, okay, I can do a 5K. I've got my dodgy trainers on. No sports bra, my cap on. I'm now going to run the London Marathon. What happened to inspire you to get there?
Gosh, friends, really. When I joined the running group, which, you know, there were some very good runners there. You know, there's some very fast runners there. Fast. And I know that I'm not a fast runner, but I've got endurance. I can run a long way, but it would take me a long time. I saw people running distances, and one of the ladies said to me, come and do this half marathon with me. And I thought, well, okay, I can run 6 miles, which is 10K. Perhaps I can run a bit further.
Yes.
So I did that. I accomplished that distance. I did that half marathon. Then I did a few more. And then I thought, well, I want to run a marathon now. So I ran one marathon. Then I did another. I've done four in total, including
four
London. Four full marathons.
Four, wow,
But London was what I called the last one for Lizzie. So obviously I did it for a cancer charity.
Okay.
And I was very lucky to get a charity place. And it's making a tough decision as to whether you want to apply for a charity place, because it takes a lot of time to do the fundraising, but for me and for a lot of people to get into the London Marathon is the highlight of your running career. It's massive. And I asked this charity, and they I'd raised money for them before, and they sent me an email to say, yes, you can do it. And I was like, wow. So that was it. And I think with myself, though, I train better because I'm a people person, and I like to be with people. When I'm running on my own and it's a long way, it can be a bit soul destroying, and your mind does play tricks on you. You go through stages of hitting the wall at marathons, and various things happen to your body and you think, well, that's it. At London, the St John's Ambulance people would be stood at the side of the road with blue tarpaulin. If you fell down, you were on that tarpaulin and they were pulling you away and you weren't getting your medal.
Wow, no.
And I felt like, and so for me, London was a very, very difficult race mentally because I had the emotions of why I was doing it. It was a long way and it was the hottest summer they've had in 22 years.
Wow.
And I was like, great. I trained in snow. I trained in snow drifts up to my knees and then this sun came from nowhere and I did feel really poorly. So it took me 5.5 hours just short of, which was a rubbish time and not what I wanted. However, you don't let that mess with your head.
I'm
because
saying
you did it.
Yeah. And you know, you did it, you got there, you did it through the heat.
Yeah.
What about drinking and things then during the race? How was
So they offer you water, they alternate between water and sports drinks every mile. And I don't like to run carrying a bottle, but they were small bottles of water, so I did run carrying them. But of course, 22 degrees it reached, so the water was really warm and horrible, and you got to a point where you don't quite know what to do with yourself, so you just keep running. There was more than one point at London after 20 miles where I thought I was going to collapse. And what it was, I'd got this last minute purchase of a running hat that was waterproof, like a baseball cap. So whenever I tipped water over my head, and I'd got a running buff on as well, and I'm thinking, why am I getting hotter and hotter? And it was because the water wasn't going through the cap. So I was just overheating. And that, but how stupid of me not to realise, take the hat off you'll be fine. But I got
sure
to
look,
the
I'm
end.
Sure look, I'm sure look pretty, though.
I got to the end.
I think if you actually get the wet on your head, that'd be But you know, you did really well from not running at all to running the London Marathon. And how much did you actually raise for the charity?
Nearly £4,000. So
really? Wow.
3,700 and something I raised in the end. And I had to raise 2,000. So if you run for a charity, any charity will ask you, if it's the London Marathon, to raise a certain amount. And those amounts vary from 1,500 to ridiculous amounts, like 3,500.
Wow.
And yeah, I raised above and beyond, but again, I was very lucky because I had the help of very good friends.
No, that is really nice. And did anybody actually run with you on that day? Or because you go, obviously, you're surrounded by strangers of your level, aren't you, really? In effect, that's what a marathon is, or any race, really.
Yeah. So on the day, there was a lady staying at our hotel that got two children, and obviously me being me, found myself a friend, was like, can we travel together? So I started off with this lady in our pen, because there's loads of various pens. I think there was something like 60,000 runners in the London Marathon when I did it last year. So I started off with this lovely lady, Claire, who was from, I think she was from Barnsley, and we ran together for a little bit, but you very quickly get lost in the crowd. You can follow a pacer. They've got flags on the back and they'll have a finishing time. I started following a pacer that was, I wanted 4:40, I think, 4 hours, 40 minutes. So I started following a pacer and thought, oh, he's going ever so quick. Never thought to look at my watch to see what pace I was doing. I was following the wrong pacer because they all come from different starts. So I ended up running next to a rhino. There were several rhinos running, and because it was so hot, they'd advise everybody not to wear fancy dress. So he'd got a full rhino head on, so full suit. All I could see was his trainers. And it got Ben the rhino stuck to the front of him. And I kept looking at this Ben, and whenever I felt really ill, because we were with each other for a good few miles as it started to get hotter and hotter. When you're running and it's a long way, and I keep talking about coping mechanisms, lots of people use a mantra that they say over and over again. So my mantra that day was looking at Ben and saying to myself, man up, Julie, you're running the London Marathon, it's hot, but you're not dressed as a frigging rhino. I kept looking at Ben and saying that in my head over and over. Things could have been worse. You've always got to look for the positives, not the negatives.
That's absolutely right. And I can't imagine getting dressed up in fancy dress and that kind of heat.
Yeah.
And I think whenever I run or don't run, I always think when it gets to the heat, I can run in the rain, even if it's a little bit slippery, but the actual heat, that just, I think anything over 23, it just, it's a big thing to do, and All those miles in that heat with warm water, you did amazingly.
Oh, thank you.
Amazingly well, and I'm sure Liz is looking down and beaming from
here. Oh, I'm sure she is.
Yeah, you did her proud, certainly. So thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
I know you're a busy lady, so we'll scoot off. That's fantastic. And thank you for joining us today, Julie. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
I have loved the interview with Julie. She's just one of those people that make you feel or make you believe that you can actually do it, you can actually run. And I think the run clubs that are available and Park Run, I think they're just full of people just like Julie that can motivate and push you forward and allow you to believe that you can actually do more than you first thought possible. I do hope it motivates you. And if you're thinking about running, then just look up your nearest Park Run, because they're all over the country and they're a great place to start your running journey. So thank you for tuning today. I'd like you to thank those of you that have shared the podcast. That means a great deal. It takes a lot of effort and organisation to get the podcast up and running. So anybody that shares that, I really do appreciate that. And it's just a hats off to me to say thank you. So that is great. And if you can continue to do that, then that would be amazing. We're now available on iTunes, Spotify and Podbean. On there will be a subscribe button. And if you're able to subscribe, you will automatically get the next episode without having to click on that. So that will automatically go into your inbox each week. So thanks again, and I'll leave you to your week. Enjoy.